Hi everybody, thank you for joining us today. This time we'll do this a little bit different. First, Gonçalo will go through the presentation as he always does. And after that, Rodrigo and the executive team will address a little bit more the COVID-19 situation at RAND. Gonçalo?
Hi, thank you, Ana. I will go through the presentation now. So if you want, you can go directly to slide number 3, where we have the highlights. So what can we say about the first quarter account? So EBITDA stood at 118.9. So this is a drop of slightly over 5%. And this is mainly due to a couple of reasons. So first is the drop in remuneration of the asset base. We will see that. It follows from basically the drop of the rate. Secondly, results from the new gas regulatory framework coming into life this year. Third, there is an increase in OPEX, which I will explain. Part of it is, I would say, temporary or is not going to repeat itself in exactly the same fashion in the coming quarters. And we have a small, but I'd say significant positive impact from the outside operations. We are comparing a quarter where we didn't have Transemel in Chile and now we have it. So we have a little bit more of impact from the international operations. Secondly, looking at financial results, and they also have a positive performance. You see that the average cost of debt is now 1.8%. I will go into this a little bit more. Third, and this is, I'd say, the continued bad news on the tax part, is that we still have the extraordinary energy sector levy, and that this year it is higher. We have explained to most analysts before, or to all analysts before, that in the first couple of years, given the way that we acquired Portgas, we were not liable to pay this for those years, and now the third year, 2020, it's the first year that we will be paying for Portgas. Also, and so this increases, and since we put all of the levy in this first quarter, that's why you see it here now. And that impacts quite a bit net income, because since net income in the first quarter, due exactly to that, is not very large, small variances make it go up or down a little bit more. In terms of net debt, what you see is an increase, but deriving from the acquisition of Transemel, so completely expected. And you see that also CapEx is rising, but as you know, first quarters in our company in terms of CapEx and transfers to RAS are not very meaningful, but I will again go into a little bit more of detail. Okay? So we can, I think, skip slide number 4. It's just the main numbers. If you want to pass to slide number 5 and look at that rate, what you see is that rate came down in the asset base. And so rates are now in gas transmission electricity a little bit over 4.5%, which compare to rates a good bit higher in the last year, namely in gas. So there is a drop which is linked to the evolution of the Portuguese sovereign, but a drop also in gas, which is driven to the reset of the regulatory framework. So that's where you see the main impact. Okay. Given this recent COVID situation, what you actually see is that recently Portuguese yields have been slightly higher, which as you know, for us in particular, have a slightly positive impact in terms of remuneration of the assets. Okay. Finally, and just commenting here on the rate, as you've heard, the regulator is considering delaying the implementation of the regulatory period of electricity for one more year. João Conceição, the COO, can give a little bit more detail on that afterwards, but this on itself is probably, I'd say, marginally positive in terms of remaining with the same with the same curve and the same and remaining stable for one additional year and going to 4 years in electric. If you want to go to slide number six and to CapEx, so what you see here is an increase in CapEx and an increase in transfers to RAB. I will comment already a little bit on what can be some impacts of this crisis. Now, again, I will leave a little bit of room for João then to give you a little bit more color in specific in terms of CapEx. What we are seeing is, I would say, an impact which should be on the year, not very big in terms of CapEx. So we think that most of the CapEx that we have foreseen, we could do it a little bit less, but the impact on our budget, on our expectations, should not be very large. On transfers to RAB, it's a little bit more uncertain, and it will be certainly larger because a couple of months of delay in terms of execution of the construction, of course, makes that a couple of projects, namely, which are big projects that João and his teams are implementing this year on the terrain, may be delayed in terms of, and it's sufficient to be one day for it not to be transferred this year. That being said, and I also want to tell you that, even in a scenario, and we've been stress testing this, where you'd have a little bit more of impact in terms of transfers to RAB, would have a limited impact in terms of EBITDA and net income. And to be honest with you, I think that that impact would be in the same order or smaller than the positive impact that the rates would have. So I think that between the rates and the CapEx, you'd probably not have any material negative impact, and you could even have a slightly positive impact. Okay? So João has been resuming already construction, so some of the construction is already underway, and during this month and early next month, I think that he will resume most of the work that he has to do. You can also see that Transemel is already contributing a little bit in CapEx. CapEx in Transemel were a little bit delayed, not to do with anything with the COVID crisis. It was operational issues that made it being delayed, but our expectation is that the budget and the objectives we have of CapEx for this year should be more or less unchanged, and that these were more constructions that were expected to be done by mid-year and will probably be concluded more towards the end, but should be concluded within the year. So moving to slide number seven, no major comments. You see that it is electricity and port gas that is growing, so I'd say normal kind of trend. Going to slide number eight and looking at remuneration. So what you see is that mainly the impact is the impact created by the ROR. You see that in the case of electricity, it comes down around half a percentage point. In gas, it comes down more or less 1 percentage point. And so gas impact is big this year. In terms of the impact of REV, what is actually funny is that the positive impact that you have on the electricity and the gas distribution side almost compensates or is almost the same as the negative impact you have on the gas transmission. So it's not the same, but you don't have a big impact from the REV decrease in this quarter. Moving to operational costs, which I think I have to explain a little bit some things. And you'll see it more on the next slide, but you don't have to go to it. You see that basically non-core OPEX is basically stable. So you have some items that go up, but mostly is basically stable. So the decrease you have the increase you have in operational costs, which is 2.3, is basically the increase you have in core OPEX, which is 2.4. Okay? So what is the explanation for this? So part of this is Transemel. So it's 0.8, as you can see there on the graph. So you have still 1.6 million that you have to explain. Personnel costs are flat. So as you know, typically we do increases, and so this start to be reflected more on the second quarter. So it's completely flat. There's no increase in cost here. So it's basically another cost. And this is related mainly and almost exclusively to maintenance costs. We have a big increase, and because we are already anticipated some of the work in terms of forest cleaning, there is, and this is more or less 1.4 million that we did in this quarter. Last year, those costs were more concentrated in other quarters. That being said, you should not multiply this year on year, of course, by four, but in the year, in the full year, you will see an increase in maintenance costs derived from forest cleaning, okay? If you want to get a little bit more detail, I think that Anna can give you, but so that's the trend. It's not this amount, but it is an increase. And then we had some costs that we did because of donations relating to this, and so I'd say that those two things explain most of the variance, but forest cleaning is basically the one that explains almost everything, okay? So in slide number 10, what you see is the non-core, and you see that there's a couple of ITC mechanisms and costs with natural gas that go up, and the occupational levies comes down, so, but as you know, these are pass-through, so it's a little bit less important to us, but one compensates the other, so there's not a lot of story here. Going to slide number 11. So what you see is all of this put together. We've already talked about, I'd say, mostly the domestic operations. In electro gas, you see it's growing a little bit, but it's basically stable. So I'd say no news, slightly better than last year, but I'd say nothing major to point out in relation to electro gas. In relation to Transemel, it wasn't here last year, so you see the impact. Actually, there is a couple of costs which are, I'd say, not completely recurrent in this quarter. So the normal contribution of EBITDA or the yearly contribution is going to be larger than this number times four. So it is a little bit below, I'd say, the run rate that Transemel should have in terms of EBITDA for the full year. Again, if you want then a little bit more detail, and I can also give you, but I think this gives you an idea. But again, this is not material in terms of the company, but it is important for you when looking at Transemel. Moving to slide number 12 and below EBITDA. So depreciations, no news. I'd say everything more or less the same. In terms of taxes, the story here is, as you see, is the increase on the special levy. Rodrigo will probably comment a little bit and at the end about this and what kind of expectations or no expectations we have relating to this. And the rest, I'd say, is completely in line. Tax rate now is around 28.4% without the levy, so it's completely in line with what we have expected. So no kind of extra comments. Looking at the financial results, what you can see here is a decrease and improvement. You actually have an increase in gross debt, but you have a more than compensating impact in terms of cost of debt. You have a cost of debt of 2.3% in the first quarter of last year. Full year last year you had 2.1, now it's at 1.8. Just to manage expectations, I think that overall in the year, the cost of debt will be probably slightly higher than this. And there is reasons why it's so a little bit lower, but other loans came in April and other months that will probably make it go up. But our expectation is that although it should be slightly above this level of 1.8, it's going to be certainly below the 2% figure. In terms of liquidity, so it's at a strong 1.2 billion as at the end of the first quarter of this year. I can actually tell you that it's not in the first quarter accounts, but after this, we've already renegotiated another major loan that we have and extended its tenure. And so now we have fully funded around 3.25 years. So we only have to go to market around June of next year. So it is a very comfortable position to be in. I think this is the position that we've put ourselves in the last years. So we've been, as always, trying to optimize the cost, but at the same time to maintain a very conservative structure, namely in terms of liquidity, which in this type of scenarios is extremely important. So going to slide number 13, this is, I'd say again, the normal evolution of debt in the first quarter. You have a positive evolution in the first quarter. I would say that overall in the year, and anticipating some comments of you that you may have, if we didn't have this crisis or the COVID crisis, I'd say that net debt would probably be more or less stable on the year. Grow a little bit, decrease a little bit, but be more or less stable. The reality is that with a decrease in consumption, that could have an impact in terms of tariff deviations. Again, not tariff deficit, tariff deviations, which may be the case that will put a little bit more of debt in this year. You have a little bit less CapEx, you have a little bit more of tariff deviations. Can this mean overall that you have 50 million more of debt at the end of the year? It may be, but I would say that it's in that ballpark, a little bit below, a little bit above. João can give you, when he talks about regulation on the Q&A, can give you a little bit more detail of what the regulator kind of measures that they took and other impacts, but the main impacts are the ones that also I told you about. So going to slide number 14, is the normal. So you see that there is a negative impact from EBITDA, compensated a little bit by financial costs, but then the levy in Portgás makes it come down. And the levy, I forgot to explain that, the levy in Portgás is around a little bit over 4 million, so it's around 4.1 million in that overall number that you see. So if it wasn't for that, the amount would actually come down by around 300,000 euros. But adding this 4.1 million makes it go up by 3.8 million. So I'd say that, and before passing to Rodrigo and to slide number two again, I'd say that this is a company where you see stability and safety on the operating side. It's a company that you see stability and resilience on a financial point of view. And so I think is very well positioned even in this, I'd say, challenging scenario. So, Rodrigo.
Do you want to go back to
slide? Let's go back to slide number two.
Hi, hello, everybody. Well, this time we decided to do a little bit differently because also the circumstances are different. And, you know, we went through the, you know, the quarter results. I think is, you know, quite easy to understand where we are, and now we enter into, you know, really something that it's really difficult to forecast. You know, we are going through a situation that is extremely complex from an economic perspective. And you know, even among ourselves, we have some discussion how clear can we be in what regards to the future. Something we know, it's a future that it's solid. You know, if we take in consideration, you know, our type of activity, the sources of our remuneration, the job we are able to do, I think we feel very strong. And when we compare to most of the industries of the world, of services companies, I think we, you know, we are really on the safe side. But at the same time, we need to understand that we have, this is a big challenge to the system, and you all know about that. You know, we have employment, nobody knows where it will end. The recovery of the activity, of the economic activity is going to take, you know, time. You know, people, we all know that life will be back to normal when there is a, you know, a vaccine or a very solid treatment. We, you know, even the more optimistic people, they say it can take between, let's say, 6 months to a year and a half to get there. The debt of the countries is totally unpredictable at the moment. We have the European Commission forecasts that they are changing every week. Some people are very pessimistic, but even the optimistic ones, they are not predicting good things. All in all, if we try to really to give you a view of what exactly it's going to happen, it's very difficult. I think we don't have the culture of guessing, and we prefer to share what we know. What we know is solid business, or as solid as it can be. There is a few things that we will find out at the same time you will in the coming months. This, when we talk about CESE, the tax, we know, and Gonçalo explained very well, how big the situation is for us. By now, we should finally have had the first CESE reduction that we were expecting, and now we are waiting. Like I said in the last conference call, even if the analysts, the journalists, our employees, our shareholders ask that 10 times, we will have to give the same answer. We are now waiting to see when the government is going to make the decisions and make them public. This is something we cannot influence. They know exactly how much taxes we are paying. They know it's not right. I know they want to make it right, but now they have a much bigger problem to deal with, and we need to wait for their decisions. One thing I know, whatever happens, it's not going to change the long-term view. They want to get rid of CESE as much as we do, and now it's a question of, are they going to change the timeline? We just don't know. We need to wait for their decisions. In terms of and I would encourage Gonçalo even to go a little bit deeper in some of the financial details of what we believe it could be the impact. But again, this is sharing perceptions. It's not sharing raw data. We don't have the data. We cannot be sure about the data. But I think we can try it at least to share with you what we think and where we are. And from an operational standpoint, how we dealt with the situation, what have we done internally? I would invite João to make a comment on the process that took us to where we are today, which I think is remarkable.
Well, thanks, Rodrigo. Regarding the process, as we know, we went through a process of lockdown also in here in Ariane. But obviously, we had to maintain, to find an equilibrium to maintain all the functions that are crucial for the systems to work. The first priority of the company was always the employees, and at the same time, the security of supply of the system. So we have to manage a balance between those two. And what we did is basically we kept the couple of functions, the priority functions on the dispatch centers, on the terminal, on the emergency response of our network, operating all the time, and at the same time moving all the other people into telework in order to protect them and to make them as safe as possible. Now it's time to move backwards into what can be called as the new normal, and we are little by little putting into operations again several functions from the investment area till the operation and maintenance areas. So step by step, we are moving people into the job. In the present way, in the different places that they operate, and that's where we are at the moment. Of course, as it was already mentioned by Rodrigo and Gonçalo, we follow strictly All the rules and guidelines set by the government, set by the national authorities, and we adjust them, complement them with our own rules in order to maintain the security of supply and the safetiness of our people. Gonçalo mentioned that the regulator has set a couple of rules, and basically in slide two you have on the tariff deviation you basically have the nutshell of those changes that regulator that did. The most important one, which is not yet final, but we are confident that it's going to be what is going to happen, is the postponement of by 1 year of the new regulatory period for the electricity sector. The regulator has gone through a public consultation and has asked the Tariff Council to put forward their opinion in terms of postponing this new regulatory period. Until now, from what we know, there was almost a unanimous position in terms of the comments by the Tariff Council, as well as the different stakeholders, that everyone sees benefits in postponing 1 year, because due to the instability that we are going through, and changing all these parameters and these guidelines is obviously important to have a stable framework in order for them to be sustainable. So we are waiting for the final decision from the regulator, but we are confident that that is what is going to happen. Secondly, the regulator took two measures, one addressing the households, both in electricity and natural gas, by allowing the cases where there was a stop in payments not to be cut it by the corresponding distributors, and allowing them to have a longer period to pay back their retailers and to avoid being cut. This, in what concerns Turin, does not affect us because we are speaking about households, except for the Portgas area, where even there we believe the impact is relatively minor. Because we're speaking about a region where natural gas is supplying households that are less affected by this economic crisis. So we are obviously monitoring, but we are not expecting to have a big impact on that regard. The second measure the regulator did was regarding the industrial consumers. And in this part, they accepted in the specific case where the corresponding activities are under big stress, they can renegotiate with their retailers the payment of the network tariffs. This has an impact on us. We are calculating exactly, because until now it's not possible to know what is the size of the impact. We are not expecting to be significant, neither. And even this impact is not affecting the P&L, but is affecting only on tariff deviation and the cash position. All these deviations are recovered in 1 or 2 years later. The third impact, which has nothing to do with the regulator, but Gonçalo has already mentioned, is the changes that might happen in terms of the consumption. What we have been witnessing so far is that the consumption has stabilized in the last 3 weeks, both in the electricity and natural gas. There was an important drop in electricity, about 10 to 12% in April. A bigger drop in natural gas, up to 26% also in April. But you have to put that into perspective, because if you compute the change from January to April on electricity, this drop is much less, and it's about 3%. On the natural gas side, this big drop was explained by the lockdown period and the fact that all the economic activity was reduced. And as you may know, our consumption of natural gas is mainly driven by the combined cycle plants for electricity generators and the industry. We don't have a big consumption from the household, so there is not a big impact. And for that regard, we have to wait some time more to see what is going to be the recovery of the economy in order to see if this consumption is recovered or not.
So just to give you a little bit more color in numbers, as Rodrigo was suggesting. So, and complementing what John was saying, so in terms of CapEx, let's say that what we were looking at the numbers, we say that versus what we have in mind, and we don't give normally guidance, but versus what is our internal objective, we can see that CapEx may be 5 or 10% lower than that number. So even if it's 10% lower than that number, not only is that number not significant in terms of evolution, but secondly, this year, you also have an increase in Transemel on a year-on-year basis that compensates, if not all, most of that. And thirdly, bear in mind that in CapEx, and it's going to be more important for the next comment, what we don't do this year, João and the teams are going to recuperate next year. That is particularly important to transfer SURA because there, yes, the impact is a bit higher than the 10%. But on a two-year process, so if there's 50 or 60 million that we don't transfer this year, there will be more 50 or 60 that you transfer next year. So it's, I'd say, you lose a little bit in this, you lose a little bit of EBITDA with this, but it is not something that you then don't recuperate. You do recuperate almost immediately. Secondly, the impact of this in EBITDA is very small. So we are talking about a couple of million of euros in our estimate. Again, and to reinforce the impact of the rates of return within the set regulatory schemes, I think you can make your estimates, but can very well be at least a couple of million, if not more. So I think that the impact of the delay in CapEx on one side and the other, I think, is conservatively neutral in terms of EBITDA and net income. Okay. So the other topic was the net debt, and that I think I and João already explained that at length. Okay.
Just before now taking your questions, I think it's also important to make a general remark in terms of politics and economy. I think the government here, I think overall, and this is it is my opinion, but I think it represents most of the people's opinion. So far, they have been doing a good job. The positives are much bigger than the negatives, for sure. And the numbers, are the ones we see. And there is numbers that they don't like. I think it's a fair statement to recognize the good job they have been doing. I think the companies, and of course we are a small country. We have a small industry, but even the small industry we have, they are trying to reinvent themselves, and we can see that with the factories starting to produce health protection materials. We, people are trying to find new markets, and of course, we hope that as soon as the situation will improve, I think life will get to normal. I think the big interrogation that we have and the whole world has now, for the ones who are in the phase where we are, is we are starting to go back to work, slowly, step by step, and nobody knows exactly what's going to happen again. Are the numbers going to be growing under control, without control, but here we will be to deal with that. I think as you heard João Conceição explaining and Gonçalo, I think, you know, the job done is working pretty well. You know, the systems are working well. You know, the effort we did in digitalization proved to be effective. Our people are extremely responsible. We, of course, we have the benefit of having, you know, our employees, the very large majority have a very strong education, and they understand the need for the discipline. We are a disciplined company too, and at this moment, that makes a huge difference. You know, and I think, we, you know, with that, I would move to the Q&A.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask question, you need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be taken by an operator. And if you wish to cancel your request, just press the hash key. Once again, please press star one for question. And sir, we got a question coming from the line of Sarah. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions, and I hope you and your families are all well. The first question is on a clarification, if possible, on your indication on the net debt. So if I understood correctly, you said that you expect an increase in debt of 50 million, correct? So you were expecting a flat net debt if the situation was not happening, and now you forecast 50 million, if this is correct. And also, if these 50 million are the tariff deficit that could be recovered in the next 2 years according to the regulator rule. This is the first question. The second is still related to debt. If you have a threshold in terms of net debt to EBITDA to which you would reconsider your strategy and therefore maybe to reallocate your CapEx or even reconsider your dividend policy. And the third question is on M&A. There has been an article reporting that Galp would be considering the sale of its gas distribution assets, and REN was mentioned among interested parties. Would you consider this acquisition, and if yes, would you also consider to recur to a capital increase? Thanks a lot.
Right. Commenting on the net debt, the first two questions, and then Rodrigo will address the last question you have. So yes, so those 50 million, I mean, we don't know, but it's our best estimate. It could be less than that. It could be a little bit higher. We are not certain exactly what the impact is due to this change in consumption. So if you want to kind of have a ballpark, that's what I would use, but it's a best guess at this time. In terms of the metrics that you asked, we don't look in terms of leverage so much at net debt to EBITDA because, as you know, in our company, it's not a very good indicator, okay, because EBITDA goes up and down in ways because the rates go up, EBITDA goes up. So normally, ourselves and the rating agencies, what we follow very, very closely is FFO to net debt, okay? And so that's what we have been following and follow, and we don't think that any of this has a material impact on that metric. So it may have a very slight negative impact on that metric on a standalone basis, but it is not a material, and it doesn't make us reconsider. That's why we built in the past years the liquidity buffer that we did, so that we are comfortably with those metrics and investment grade.
On the other, you know, questions, and I think basically I don't think we, you know, in terms of, you said asking about the reallocation of CapEx because of this situation, you know, we are not really planning to do anything special. You know, we will deal. What we want is to move ahead with the projects. As a matter of fact, we already started to be back to work. And now what we want is to recover as much as we can the portfolio of projects that we have. And we're starting that, and I'm sure it will go well. In terms of the dividend policy, we didn't even pay the dividend of last year. We approved yesterday in our general shareholder meeting. That went super well. We have, you know, almost unanimous support from all the shareholders. We even had more people yesterday than we had a year ago. And I think on that, I think, you know, we remain committed with the policy we have, and we'll see in the future what's going to happen. But, you know, at the moment, we don't see any reason to be announcing any change, you know, of position in the company. We are where we are, where we have been in the past years. In terms of, I would say, deals, business, investments of this type, we never comment on this type of situation. You know, if you ask us if we should look into that, of course we look into everything that happens in the market, you know, whether it is in Portugal, in Spain, or in Chile. But we only comment when is the right time to comment. And if we would be talking about all the projects we look into, we will have a lot to say. But it's a process. To the extent the information we have, even there is a lot of information still missing about what's going to happen, and we'll see. You know, for sure we are professionals and we look into everything that happens in our market. But that's all we can talk at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So our next question comes from the line of George Guimaraes. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I have two. Firstly, is it possible to clarify the question about the forest cleaning cost? I did not understand if the forest cleaning costs were also included in the allowed revenues or not. So if possible to clarify that. And secondly, if it is possible to give us an update on long-term projects like the link, the undersea cable between Portugal and Morocco, and if you foresee any, I know the uncertainty is very high currently, but if you have any idea of the impact of the current crisis on your long-term projects or on your long-term CapEx expectations, namely the values that were published or put to public consultation with ERF some months ago. Thank you very much.
Relative to the first question, and João will complement. So there is these costs, yes, are in the cap, in the allowed revenue. Although there was a change which was subsequent to also the regulatory review in legal terms that made things more stringent, so not in all the cost is included. João, do you want to complement a little bit?
Yes, there are different costs on forest cleaning, and some of them are indeed within the cap of OPEX revenue cap, regulatory OPEX revenue cap, and some others are out. What we have to do is to try to optimize all these costs in a nutshell, because some of these costs are in fact costs that are affected or are affecting new developments of the grid, and therefore those costs are capitalized. Some other are affecting the existing part of the grid, and those costs are the ones that affect the allowed revenues that the regulator sets us.
Regarding the Moroccan project, there's been a while since nobody asked about the cable. If I remember well, the last time I mentioned, we said that this is basically a political decision between the two countries. And if it was our decision, probably we would have found a solution already. But since this is with politicians, it takes a little bit more time. And I would say this is something that is, it will take the time, and we'll see what they want to decide. This is quite a big investment. We still believe it makes sense, but that's not enough to make it happen. There was a plan to have a Portugal-Morocco economic forum going on in the beginning of April, but as you can expect, it was postponed. And I know this is one, and this was said by the Portuguese ambassador in Morocco and by the ambassador of Morocco in Portugal. This was one of the most important topics the both governments want to discuss. I know it's important to Morocco, it's important to Portugal, but that's where we are.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask questions, just press star 1. Sir, no more questions at this moment. Please continue.
Okay, so have a safe weekend. Don't go out. Spend money at home and help your economies. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.